Hello and welcome to Life with Purpose Radio. Rod Hampton, your host, bringing you more inspirational stories of people sharing Christ around the world. Here's our lineup for this week.
Hello, I'm Juliana Smoke. Today we're going to find out how missionaries are sharing the Bible with people groups who have no written word.
I'm John Graham, and Kelly Rosati joins us today on the Culture Connection to talk about a new documentary and how a pastor in Seoul, South Korea is saving lives every day.
Hello, I'm Ron Lawson. Later we'll hear from a missionary who tells us that Christians should prayerfully engage in the work of government and politics.
I'm Myrna Brown. This new singer-songwriter now has 4 GMA Canada Covenant Awards, the mission trip that started it all.
Also today, church planting catalyst Curtis Cook is in Boston on our missionary moment. That's all today on this week's edition of Life with Purpose Radio. It may be hard to believe, but there are 175 people groups in the world that have no scripture in their language. There's a group that's scripture planting, and Life with Purpose Radio's Juliana Smoke has the story.
There are over 2,000 people groups in the world that have no scripture in their language. And out of that number, about 90% do not have an alphabet in order to translate the Bible in print. Grant Lovejoy is the International Mission Board Director of Orality Strategies, and he's here to share how missionaries are using the latest technology to get the scriptures in the hands of these people groups. Hello, Grant, and thank you for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Tell us about the people groups who you all are communicating the Bible to.
Most of these people groups are minority. They are scattered across the globe in about 3 major areas. One is mainland Southeast Asia, the countries of Cambodia and Laos up into southern China. Another area of major need is out in the Pacific Islands. And then a third major area of need is in Central Africa, Northeast Nigeria, on into Central African Republic.
Mm-hmm. So these are generally isolated locations.
Many of them are isolated. Some of them, though, are minority groups who just have been overlooked because of a large majority group whose language is dominant.
Mm-hmm. So for a lot of these people, when they hear the scriptures, is this their first time to hear it in their native language?
Yes, it is. It's really exciting because it helps them realize that the God of the Bible speaks their language, that he understands them. They can talk to him in their own language. And so often people think of the God of the Bible and the Christian faith as, you know, for the West. And when they hear Jesus speaking in their language, it really is an exciting shift for them to say, wow, this God is speaking to me. He wants to be my God. He wants me to be his follower.
Wow. And how do you get scriptures in the hands of people who do not have a written word in their language?
You know, historically, written translation was a decades-long process. Technology has enabled us to do this process entirely orally, so that we work with people who may be educated. In some cases, they have no education at all, but they know their language well. And so we teach them a Bible story, and so they learn the story in their national language or regional language. We process it thoroughly, discuss it, every detail of it, until they understand it intimately. Our IMB workers are there right alongside them, and we make sure that they give careful attention to the key biblical terms in the story. The process we use typically works on anywhere from 3 to 8 languages at the same time. Once we are sure that the story is in good shape, they then take it into the community, test it to make sure the ordinary people understand it. After all that's done and we're satisfied that the story is of high quality, then we ask the teams to make an audio recording that is very carefully evaluated, and then that is put on various kinds of recording and playback devices. And one of the things that we're aware of is that it's really valuable to have a recorded version of the story to refer to periodically. This enables them to make sure that the story they tell is close to what the scripture says and not something that's drifted or that they've embellished.
Right.
It's really important that they keep coming back to a well-told version of the story as their reference point.
Right. You all are not only translating the Bible, but also worship songs and testimonies.
Right. As people learn the Bible stories, they set those stories to song. One of the things we've noticed is that in many cases, people who are not followers of Christ get intrigued by the music first. Then they're interested to hear about the story that's behind the song, so they come to faith that way. Our research among persecuted Christians is that Christians who have music in their own language survive imprisonment and persecution far better than those who don't. And we hope none of these groups are persecuted, but we know odds are many of them will be. So helping them to have their own music based on Scripture is part of a broader strategy to help the church survive, even if it faces hardship.
Right. Well, Grant, I know this is a great task to translate the Bible into their heart language. How can we be praying?
Pray for the projects that are going on around the world. It's difficult work. It requires good teamwork. So people could pray, first of all, for the health and well-being of the people who are involved. Pray for good team relationships. We're fortunate that we have some great teams, but the devil would like nothing better than to stir up dissension. A third is just pray that God would open the hearts of people to receive these Bible stories and to allow it to transform them.
We've been speaking with Grant Lovejoy, Director of Orality Strategies. Grant, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today and sharing how the Lord is using technology to spread the message of the Bible.
Thank you for letting me be with you.
For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Juliana Smoke.
Life with Purpose Radio.
Hi, this is Mike Griffin, Public Affairs Representative of the Georgia Baptist Convention. The fight for religious liberty has come to Georgia, and here's your opportunity to get involved. Please contact your Georgia State Representative and Senator and ask them to support the religious liberty legislation that has been introduced in the Georgia General Assembly. Now, for more information, go to gabaptist.org/public affairs. That's gabaptist.org/public affairs. God bless you, and thank you for standing up for our First Amendment rights.
Thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio. There's a faith-based film that depicts the ministry called The Drop Box and its ministry to newborn babies. John Graham brings us a story on today's Culture Connection.
To many of our tech-savvy listeners, a Dropbox is a place to store files online. But in the streets of Seoul, South Korea, it has a completely different meaning, and a new documentary will shed light on the subject. Kelly Rosati, Vice President over Focus on the Family's Orphan Care Efforts, is here to tell us all about the film. Kelly, welcome.
Thanks. It's great to be with you.
Oh, it's a joy to have you. Now, tell me about the film, The Dropbox.
It's really a story about a pastor in Seoul, South Korea, who built, as you said, a drop box on the outside of his church. And the reason he did it was so that people would no longer throw away and abandon babies on the streets of South Korea. Instead, they would put them in the drop box so that their lives could be saved. And this courageous pastor has now been responsible for saving hundreds of lives. It's really an incredible story, and he and his wife are now raising 15 children.
My goodness. I mean, there are so many folks that can't have children. It's just horrifying to think that someone would just completely abandon one.
The people who find themselves in that situation are so desperate. They're doing the last best thing they know how to do to try to give that child a chance at life, and so that's really the essence of the Dropbox, is it's a reminder of the dignity and the sanctity of every human life.
Now, how did the film come to be and Focus on the Family get behind it?
There was a young, aspiring filmmaker at USC in the film school, and his name is Brian Ivey. And he was not a Christian, and he read an article in the LA Times about this pastor who built the mailbox to save babies. And he said, I'm going to make a documentary about this, and I'm going to win the Sundance Film Festival, and I'm going to get famous, and this is going to be great for me. And so he set about to go do that. And in the course of doing that, he became a Christian.
Oh, wow.
Seeing himself and being able to identify with the needs of these kids. And in Pastor Lee, he describes how he came to realize how much God loved him and wanted him and desired him and pursued him. And and he came to Christ at this young age. And now God is not only showing the whole world what his love is like through Pastor Lee and his example, but also through the story of Brian Ivey, the filmmaker, and the story of his salvation experience. So that's another really exciting aspect to all of this. And so we really hope people will go check out the Dropbox. It's showing March 3rd, 4th, and 5th in more than 700 theaters all across the country, and people can buy tickets. I urge them to do that because I think, unlike a lot of movies, this is going to sell out, and they can get tickets at thedropboxfilm.com.
That is, again, thedropboxfilm.com. Kelly, thank you so much for sharing with us today. This story sounds amazing. I personally love documentaries. Some folks might, you know, think, well, this doesn't sound that interesting. Speak to those folks real quick. What would you say to them?
Well, it is most definitely interesting. It's captivating. One of the things I suspect people might wonder about is it depressing? And here's the great news about it, is that even though it's honest, obviously, about, you know, circumstances that are depressing that we're talking about here, it is so filled with hope and joy and love. You can't even believe it. And you'll see it with your own eyes as you look in the faces of these children and in the face of Pastor Lee and his wife. And so I would say definitely interesting. But if you've been worried about it being too heavy, don't. You will be inspired. And in fact, what happens at the end of the movie is you wonder, wow, what am I going to do about this cause of orphans? Mm. And we actually have a conversation at the end with some panelists, with Jim Daly, our president, Stephen Curtis Chapman, and others, about how each of us can be involved and play a role in the lives of orphans, even when we're not going to be called to be Pastor Lee's.
Wow, Kelly, thank you so much for sharing with us about this film, and I'm definitely looking forward to catching it. TheDropBoxFilm.com, March 3rd, 4th, and 5th, all over the country. Don't miss it. And until next time, I'm John Graham, bringing you The Culture Connection.
Here on Life with Purpose Radio, you hear stories of people living their lives with purpose and stories of caring Christians around the world. And we hope that you are encouraged by the stories you hear to live your life with purpose. Hey, if you would take just a couple of minutes and connect with us here at Life with Purpose Radio, it's simple, just by going to Facebook/LWP Radio. Again, Facebook/LWP Radio, or if Twitter is your thing, @LWP Radio for Twitter. By the way, our email is always open. You can send us your story ideas, your comments and suggestions, and questions, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. One more time, stories@lifewithpurposeradio.com. By the way, we have a free book to give to you. Yes, I said free. It's the devotional called Words of Life, written by Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director of the Georgia Baptist Convention. It's the hardback edition, and it's yours absolutely free just for being a listener. Just go to lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. One more time for our free book, lifewithpurposeradio.com/freebook. It's just our way of saying thanks for being a listener to the program. All right, let's get back to our stories. Myrna, who's on the way?
Thanks, Rod. This new singer-songwriter now has 4 GMA Canada Covenant Awards, the mission trip that started it all.
All right. Also ahead, church planting catalyst Curtis Cook looks at church planting in Boston, Massachusetts on our Missionary Moments. Right now, though, we're over to Ron Lawson in the Life with Purpose Radio studio for the story of religious freedom.
It seems the values we see in politics and politicians today are things for Christians to avoid. On the other hand, things will not change until people with strong values become influential. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director for the Georgia Baptist Convention, talks with a pastor and a missionary who challenges Christians to become involved. Let's listen.
I'm so pleased to be on the phone today with Mike Griffin. Mike serves as Georgia Baptist Public Affairs Representative and is our lobbyist at the Georgia General Assembly. Beyond all of that, Mike serves as pastor of Liberty Baptist Church near Hartwell, Georgia. Mike, thank you so much for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you, Dr. White. It's my honor to be with you on the program today.
Mike, there's always something going on in the political world, and I know you follow it very closely, but you've also led our churches to become involved in the work of our government. I know you have a perspective on Christians and churches and how they should be engaged in the political process. Would you tell us a little bit about that?
You know, when we look at our Constitution, it tells us those first 3 words, we the people. So immediately from a constitutional perspective, we have a stewardship responsibility to be salt and light in government. And then we look at God's word, like in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it tells us, if my people, which are called by my name. So if you look at the first 3 words of that passage, if my people will in essence be the people that God's called them to be, we can have an exponential difference in government by voting, by staying informed on legislation and policy, by praying for our government officials, and just being aware of what's going on, and then serving in government in whatever way God would open doors.
Well, there's no doubt that the church needs to stand up. I mean, we see so many political issues swirling about. We see persecution of Christians in our day that we've not seen in prior years. It's just time for Christians to stand up and let their voice be heard. And I know recently you had an event at our state capitol here in Georgia where I think 110 pastors came from our churches to experience what we referred to as Pastor's Day at the Capitol. Would you tell us a little bit about that event and some of the things that happened that day?
Dr. White, it was a tremendous event. These men, along with other denominational leaders, were there with us, and they were just taken back by the opportunities that were there. They didn't realize the availability that the Capitol had for them to be able to come and to be able to meet with their representatives, and then to be able to find out a little bit about the legislation that is going on there, about the legislative process and all of that. I think our men came away refreshed, encouraged. They had an opportunity to meet a number of state reps and senators that shared about their faith in the Lord and how God had called them to be a part of government. And I think it was also motivating for them to go back to their churches and talk to their people about how they ought to be involved in government.
Also on that day, I know that we had a wonderful press conference, and Representative Sam Teasley and Senator Josh McCoon introduced a bill there in that press conference that they're bringing through our General Assembly just now. Would you talk to us a little bit about the Religious Freedom Restoration Act?
Last year, both Senator McCoon and Representative Teasley had introduced these bills. To be honest with you, the base was not actually actively involved in what was going on, so really lost that first round in dealing with the legislation regarding religious liberty. But this year we've come back with a lot more people aware of what is happening. Georgia Baptists are very much aware of what is taking place now. And I really think we've got a good move this year to be able to pass a state Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Since 1993, when Congress enacted this on a federal level, we've now had an opportunity to see about 30 states that have enacted their own RFRAs or some form of that through the courts. That's where we are. All the states around Georgia have passed it. There have been no cases of discrimination that have been carried out in the court system regarding RFRAs. There have been no cases of abuse of someone's spouse or children using a religious reason based off of RFRA. And so it's really good legislation that seeks to restore back to the people of the state of Georgia what the original intent of the First Amendment was.
Got an interesting email this week, Mike. A guy was challenging us on our support of the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, and he asked me why that was such a priority for us. And I said, well, it's been a priority of this country since the 17th century that we would have religious freedom in the United States of America, and should be important to all of us. To me, it's a no-brainer that needs to be passed.
Religious freedom is the first freedom. You know, freedom of speech, freedom of the press, freedom
of assembly,
freedom of petition. All these rights are preceded by the first freedom, the freedom of religion.
How would you advise people to stay in touch with the political situation, what's going on, Mike?
Well, we're trying to do everything that we can at the convention to try to keep our folks informed. And you can go to our website at gabaptist.org, and you can go and look on the public affairs area where I have a web page there that's going to give you a lot of up-to-date information. We're contacting our pastors and churches with updates so that they might be able to know what's going on legislatively. And they can just go to the Georgia General Assembly website and know who their state rep is or who their state senator is so that they can stay in contact with what's happening, which is very important on this bill, that they contact the governor, lieutenant governor, that they contact the Speaker of the House and their state rep, their state senator, and say, we want you to move very quickly and successfully on passing Religious Freedom Restoration Act for the state of Georgia. Just knowing that you've called them gives them encouragement, and they're able to say to those that may be opposing this, well, look, the people in my district are very much in favor of this, or the governor being able to say, I hear a lot from our citizens, and they think this is very important. So we need to be engaged, and I can't say enough about that.
Absolutely. I cannot imagine anyone in the United States of America being opposed to religious freedom and the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. Thank you so much, Mike, for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio. We appreciate all that you do among Georgia Baptists all across the state and others in government affairs. Thank you so much. I've been speaking with Mike Griffin, the public affairs representative of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Thank you for being with us on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you, Dr. White. It's my honor.
For more information on the Christian life and public affairs, go to our website, lifewithpurposeradio.com. For Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Ron Lawson.
Now on Life with Purpose Radio, Myrna Brown introduces us to the music and ministry of Canadian singer, songwriter, and musician Dan Bremness.
Lord, I want everything, everything you got for me. I won't be satisfied till I find the center of your heart.
He was born in a tiny town in British Columbia, started playing the drums as a kid in church. Today, Dan Bremness is a multi-award-winning singer-songwriter who recently moved to Nashville with his family, ready to live out the purpose God has for him. Dan Bremness joins us here on Life with Purpose Radio. Hi, Dan.
Hey, Myrna. How you doing?
Doing well. Glad to have you. So, first question, how do you like Nashville?
We love it. It's a beautiful place to be, and it's a little bit warmer than Canada, so no complaints.
That's great. Let's talk about the four awards you recently received at the 36th annual GMA Canada Covenant Awards. Is that our version of the Dove Awards?
Exactly.
So you got Artist of the Year, Male Vocalist of the Year, Pop Contemporary Song, and Recording Song of the Year for your current single, Beautiful.
I give you my all, 'cause you gave up your life. I'm not who I was, simply because, oh, you set me free. Yeah, you changed me from what I used to be. Open my eyes, now I can see. You're making this life.
Didn't stay in your seat much that night, did you? Wow.
It was a busy night, and it was, to be honest, I was quite surprised. So I did not have a whole lot of speeches worked out, but I started kind of writing them as I went. It was a fun night.
You're from this little town in Canada, just beautiful, but not necessarily the hot spot, you know, for emerging talent. What happened in your life when you were a teenager that kind of set you on this course that's led to where you are today, Dan?
One of the biggest things is I did a mission trip with Youth with a Mission, and I went to Australia, and we traveled a little bit into Southeast Asia. On that trip, God really started to change my heart and change my intentions for music. Before then, I just kind of wanted to do it for me, and I really started to see the power of music and the power that God can take a song and really touch someone's life.
That all happened on a missions trip.
Yeah, it did. My purpose, my goal became to connect people to God through music.
How old were you?
18. I just graduated high school.
And then there was another pivotal time in your life, tremendous heartache.
It would have been just a few years after that, actually. I was traveling at the time. I was out of the country, and I got a really difficult phone call, found out that my mom had lost her life in a car accident. It was definitely a stormy season to walk through, but God was very faithful, and he really, I think, showed himself to be good through it all.
We talked about the single Beautiful. Tell us a little bit more about that song and you know, your latest project.
That song kind of relates to everything we've been talking about, because when I got home from that missions trip, I actually remember sitting down in my couch in my basement and just sitting there and singing and kind of praying, and that song just came out of a prayer, to be honest, and that was just kind of my prayer to God, like, you know, God, I want everything that you've got for me. I won't be satisfied till I find your heart. And that's the lyrics of the verse in the chorus that says, you changed me from what I used to be. You opened my eyes, now I can see that you're making this life so beautiful.
And you changed me from what I used to be. Open my eyes, now I can see. You're making this life so beautiful.
Really, that song was just an overflow of what was happening in my heart, that God had changed me, had made me into a new person, into a new creation, and that's really where the song came from.
Well, you are a worship leader. There are a lot of worship leaders listening right now, present company included. And what would you say to encourage us?
I would just encourage them and tell them to keep doing what they're doing because it counts. You know, whether you're singing for one person or 1,000 people or whatever. And I've had many scenarios where, you know, I'm just playing in front of a few people, but then you hear and you see the impact that God is having in their lives. And I just think it's the biggest gift that we have is to take what God has given us, the giftings he's given us, and to use them for him to bless other people. And as long as you're doing that, then you really are accomplishing the most important thing in life, just to give glory to God.
We talked about that mission trip that you took as a teenager. When's the next one?
I feel like my life has turned into a mission trip because I'm always on the road now.
Yeah.
And always going and traveling and doing music. Sometimes it's in Canada, sometimes in the States. We'll be going to New Zealand and Australia this January. Life is kind of just a big, long missions road trip.
As it should be.
Right.
Dan Bremness, thank you for taking the time to be with us here on Life with Purpose Radio.
Thank you so much for doing the interview, and thanks for everything that you guys do. It's changing lives, I know it.
And for Life with Purpose Radio, I'm Myrna Brown.
Today's missionary moment takes us to Boston, Massachusetts, here on Life with Purpose Radio.
So some might ask, why come to a place like Boston? Why invest your time and your money here?
I graduated seminary in 2009, packed up my moving truck, and moved to Boston. That was our story.
My wife and I really prayed. We wanted one more move in ministry. That's it. We prayed, and God laid Boston on our heart.
Crazy, crazy, crazy way to do it. We were just burdened to know that there are people that exist that didn't know the Lord.
Seeing people impacted by the gospel is the greatest joy I think a pastor gets to have.
There was an urgency from the very beginning that we got to do this, and we got to do this soon. I live in a context where people are chasing after things everywhere, and they don't even have anyone around to tell them anything is different.
We have to come here because of the lack of gospel presence. The gospel compels us, the Great Commission sends us, so that those can hear the good news.
For more information about North American and international missionaries, head to lifewithpurposeradio.com and follow the links under today's program date. On Life with Purpose Radio, we believe that the truth of Christ is to be shared with everyone. We hope these stories have inspired you to live life with purpose, as today you heard about Scripture Planting Ministries, the Dropbox Movie, Religious Freedom, Christian artist Dan Bremness, and Church Planting Catalyst Curtis Cook in Boston. Well, we'll see you next time for more stories of people living their lives with purpose. And be sure to visit us online at lifewithpurposeradio.com for more information on today's stories. Life with Purpose Radio is a production of the Georgia Baptist Convention. Dr. J. Robert White, Executive Director, and in association with Southern Baptist State Conventions and agencies, including the International Mission Board and the North American Mission Board, and is made possible by gifts through the Cooperative Program. I'm Rod Hampton, and from everyone here, thank you for listening to Life with Purpose Radio.